I want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day, too. Happy Mother's Day, all the mothers out there. And if for those of you who aren't mothers and you haven't gotten your Mother's Day gift yet, there's still time. I got a little poll that might help you. It's a Times poll. 28% of those who responded are going to go get their mothers flowers. 26% are going to go get them a card. 24% are going to take them out to dinner. And 23% aren't going to get anything at all. So if you hate your mother, you're not alone. Hopefully they're going to call or something, right? But when they asked mothers what they would really like for Mother's Day, the response was someone to do the laundry. So there's your perfect Mother's Day gift. Today is our second week in our four-week series we're calling Strapped. It's about money from and advice from the book of Proverbs. And it's all about how money, how we use money, how we think about money, and particularly how money can get us all tied up if we're not careful.
Oh, that's what this is
for. Oh, that's what this is for. So last week, the main verse was Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower serves the lender. And the message was that money can enslave us, that we can find ourselves serving money, particularly when we're in debt or when we're obsessed with it and try to hoard it or chase after it. And the lesson was that we are to not serve money, but money is to serve us as we serve God. Next week, we're going to look at some practical wisdom from Proverbs about how to invest. Not only invest our money, but invest our time and all our resources so that it serves us as we serve God. This week, we're looking at practical wisdom about what to do if it's too late for us. We've already gotten ourselves tied up with money. And it's going to give us some practical advice how to get set free. Would you like to get set free?
Sure.
Well, then I have two proverbs for you.
What's that, Cliff?
This may take a while, so. And a nice chair for you to sit in. You're in this for the long term. The first Proverbs is Proverbs 10:15. A rich man's wealth is a strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. This proverb encapsulates money's power to tie us up, to enslave us, because it is at the same time both painfully obviously true and a bold-faced lie. Now, it is obviously true. A rich man can use his wealth to solve all of his problems. The car breaks down, no problem. Drive one of your other ones while it gets repaired. Or better yet, just go out and buy a new one. Your house burns down, no problem. Go on vacation while insurance builds you a better one. You get sick, you can afford the best doctors. Legal problems, you can afford the best lawyers, a whole team of them. You're sad, bored, lonely. Money can't buy you happiness. Money can't buy you love, they say. But those proverbs aren't in the Bible, at least not in so many words. And I'll bet, if it can't buy those things outright, I'll bet they're a lot easier to find if you got a couple extra million lying around. Rich men, rich people, can use their money to solve their problems. But to the poor, the smallest problem is a big catastrophe. Their poverty leaves them vulnerable, open. This proverb is painfully true, obviously true. Who can tell me why this proverb is a bold-faced lie? Anyone? Any ideas? Where you seek your help from, that's the answer I'm looking for. It's a false security. It only gives false hope. Money seems like it can solve all problems, but no matter how rich you are, you're going to come up against problems money just can't solve. Money seems like an endless resource, but it always runs out, and you always need more. There are things that money just cannot buy. But the biggest, the most powerful way that money can tie you up and enslave you is that it makes you trust it, trust something else, trust some other security besides the only source of true security, the only mighty fortress we really have, God. God is the only one we can turn to in times of trouble that we can be sure will help us. And he is a mighty fortress for everybody who puts their trust in him, rich and poor. Do you believe that? You do? Good. I can see your bonds beginning to loosen already.
I didn't win the big lottery.
There's hope for you. We're going to come to that. Okay. The next proverb I want to look at is Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. This is a prayer. You've probably heard it before, but maybe you didn't realize it comes from the Bible. It's a prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. He's praying for just the right amount, neither not too rich or too poor. If you have too much, you might become conceited, think, I don't need God, I don't need anybody, and become a so-and-so. We all know them. If you become too poor, then you might worry and become irritable. You might even become dishonest and steal. So he prays for just the right amount, just my daily bread. Isn't it interesting that that's Jesus' financial prayer for us? He tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. Do you think that's a prayer that God answers? I think it is. I think it is a prayer that God answers. He gives us just the right amount, a Goldilocks kind of thing. Not too much, not too little. A sweet spot, God's financial sweet spot. God has a financial sweet spot for everybody. He has a financial sweet spot for you. God's financial sweet spot, just the right amount. The world says the sweet spot's always more. But God says no. He has just the right amount, just the right financial sweet spot for you. And it's different for everybody. Everybody has their own unique financial sweet spot that God has just for them. And this is your lucky day because I'm in a position to tell you exactly where God's financial sweet spot is for you. Answer one simple little question, and I can tell you what God's financial sweet spot is for you. You ready for the question? Have you had enough to eat today? Have you had enough to eat today? If you have, if the answer is yes, then congratulations. You are in God's financial sweet spot just for you. You have the amount of money God intends for you to have. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? I know what someone is saying. Hey, well, wait a minute. I've had enough to eat, but I don't know how I'm going to fill up my car with gas tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to get tomorrow's rent. I know what other Jews are saying. Hey, I've had enough to eat, but you know, I've got problems that I have to worry about. I've got bills. I've got a mortgage to pay. I've got kids to put through college. I've got retirement. What are you talking about? And I know what everybody thinks at one point or another. Hey, wait a minute. Why can't I have as much daily bread as my lazy rich neighbor has? He seems to have so much more than me. But that's not what this prayer is for, is it? This prayer is simply for my daily bread, what I need now. It's not my daily bread and tomorrow's gas money and next week's rent money. It's what I need right now. It's not my daily bread and take care of all the things I'm worrying about and just reassure me a little bit for the future. It's just for what I need right now. And it's our daily bread, my daily bread. It says, don't give me as much as my neighbor gets. Just what I need. It's for just a muff and no more. You're not doing your job here. You're supposed to keep up with me. God has a financial sweet spot for each one of us. We have the money that God intends us to have right now. But that doesn't mean that we can't want and hope and desire for more and pray and work hard so that tomorrow God's sweet spot for us is different than today, is more than today. And that doesn't mean that if I have more than I need, if I have my daily bread and a little extra, it doesn't mean that that extra is mine to spend however I want, that I'm free to spend that however I want, and I'm not responsible to still serve God with that. And it doesn't mean that I can't and I shouldn't pray for more than my daily bread. I shouldn't lay all my wants and cares, all my dreams, all my worries and fears at God's feet. What it means is that I trusted God for my daily bread yesterday, and I can trust my God for my daily bread today. When we have learned to recognize the truth of that proverb about money, that money gives power to those that have it, and it gives helplessness to those that don't. When we can see the truth of that, but still put our trust in the one to whom our trust belongs, the real security, the real mighty fortress, then, when we can pray and lay all our cares and concerns at God's feet and pray, God, hear all these things, answer them according to your will. But whatever happens, I trust you to give me my daily bread. When we can do that, then we will have learned to live in God's financial sweet spot continually, no matter what our situation. Then we'll be free from the slavery of money and make money serve us as we serve God. Do you believe that? You do? Good. I think we have made real progress here. I think we can set you free. Boy, this stuff is hard to set free. It's worse than money.
Thank you. I can sit down now?
You're free. You're free.
I'm free.
Wait a minute. You're free after you clean up this mess you made. As I said, we can live in God's financial sweet spot for us. We can know God's peace. No matter what our situation is, no matter what situation we're living in. Last week, Pastor Tom shared with us some statistics. The average household debt is 136% of income. 44% of Americans carry a credit card debt from month to month, and the average debt carried is over $14,000. And both those numbers, the percentage and the amount carried, has risen every year for the past 10 years. What if that describes you? Or what if it will describe you someday? The myth is that most of the people who get into financial problems do it because they're frivolous, they're not disciplined. It's because they go out and buy too many new Mercedes when they should be buying used Hyundais. The truth is, most people get into financial debt because they're trying to recover from some tragedy. A death of a breadwinner, a family member, a job loss, a divorce, a sickness that wiped out everything they had. You can live in God's financial sweet spot no matter what your circumstances, even if that describes you now or it describes you someday. No matter what your circumstances, you can trust in the mighty fortress. Not money, God. But as I said, if that describes you now or someday, you can pray and work to change those circumstances. You can change God's financial sweet spot for you so that it is different tomorrow than today, then it is better. The way to do that is nothing new. I'm not going to tell you something that you don't know. It's obvious. You get a budget, a plan that works, and you have the discipline to stick to it. I have two proverbs for you on that. The plan of the diligent leads to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. That's the plan. That's the budget. You can get into debt without a plan. In fact, you can get into debt even if you have a very good plan. But you can't get out of debt without it. And haste, moving without a plan, won't work. Looking for a financial windfall won't solve it for you. You're not going to win the Powerball. I didn't hear. Did anyone win that big Powerball? Well, trust me on this one. You're not going to win it. I'm 99.99999999999 ad infinitum sure you're not going to win it. You need a financial plan. The second, like a city's whose walls are broken down, is a man who lacks self-control. That's the discipline to stick to the plan. If you're carrying a credit card debt with high interest rates, move as much of that debt as you can to something else with lower rates, as much as your credit score will allow. Then you get on the phone with the credit card companies and you negotiate with them to lower your interest rate as much as you can. Then you come up with a budget that allows you to pay above the minimum. Then you start out with your smallest debt. You pay the minimum on everything else, but you pay more than the minimum on that smallest debt until you pay it off. And then you take all that money and you move on to the next smallest and the next smallest and the next smallest till it's gone. That's the only thing that works. And you can do it yourself, or you can get free counseling to help you. Don't listen to those television ads. You cannot earn $5,000 a week from home in your spare time. There is no government programs that the credit card companies don't want you to know about that will force them to forgive your debt. And those debt consolidation companies will just charge you to do something you can do for free yourself. However, as you make your plan and stick to it, don't forget to take God's financial sweet spot with you, to live in it every step of the way. Don't get caught into the thinking that that financial sweet spot is the end of it. Some nirvana that you have to work to and get there, and then you will be in God's sweet spot for you. No, you live in God's financial sweet spot every step of the way. When people fail at something like this, something that's very difficult, that takes discipline over a long period of time, it's not because they're not strong enough, because they don't have enough willpower. It's because they lose hope. That last proverb we saw gives a clue as to why people fail and how to overcome it. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Just because when you lack self-control, you're defenseless, you're like a city that's broken down, that doesn't mean willpower. Your strength is a strong tower, a fortress. No, your willpower, your strength is no more a strong fortress, something that you can trust in any more than a rich man's money is. There is only one thing that you can turn to, you can look to for your strength. A mighty fortress is our God, only Him. As you go through this process, it will not be easy. Things will come up that will knock you off your plan, knock you down again and again and again, and again and again and again. You'll have to return to it. Each time, each step of the way, continue to live in God's financial sweet spot for you. He is with you. You can trust Him. The world will tell you that it's against you. Guess what? It is. But He is not, and He is stronger. Circumstances will test you and you'll think, I'm not strong enough, I can't do it. Guess what? You're not strong enough, you can't, but He can. Each step of the way, each moment, live in God's financial sweet spot for you. Trust in Him and you will find every day God's daily bread for you just when you need it. And I want to look at one more proverb before I close. This one. The blessings of the Lord brings wealth, and He adds no trouble to it. Living in God's financial sweet spot when you're in this circumstance may seem all discipline and drudgery. It's not. Living in God's financial sweet spot is sweet. It's the place of God's blessing. God blesses those who put their trust in Him, and His blessings do not cost. There is no trouble in it. Live in God's financial sweet spot every minute and take His blessings when He gives them. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid to take the blessings He gives. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, holy, holy is Your name. We take all our cares, all our troubles, all our concerns, all our hopes and dreams, all our fears and worries, and we lay them at Your feet. We call upon You to hear them and answer them according to Your perfect love and perfect knowledge. Let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we trust You no matter what comes, no matter what Your will brings, we trust You, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to trust You. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.